One of the things we as Christians have, you know, and if we're honest with ourselves, you know, we always, like, too many people say, I'm brutally honest. You lie like a dog. You're just a jerk and you like to be that towards other people. But if you're going to be brutally honest, look in the mirror and be brutally honest. Okay? We need to start looking in that mirror a lot more through the eyes of criticism. When people mention Christians, what do they think of? Oh, selflessness. They think of charitable acts. They think of love. No. Go out in the world today and ask people, what do you think of when you think Christians? You know what they say? Critical, judgmental. Hypocrites. That's what they think of. And the truth of the matter is, we are. I find myself doing it. And I don't mean to be doing it. I read the Bible. And when I look and I study the apostles and what the apostles did and what they said and how the prophets, I don't find myself observing the awesomeness of God. I find myself pulling out their flaws. Guess what? They were human. They were people. The night Jesus was betrayed and then later denied by Peter, Peter was cussing these people out. Do you understand? The Bible says he cursed. So you can just imagine what a sailor is going to sound like. Bart, any... Okay. But I have always... I found myself getting critical and judgmental about these people, thinking how much better I am than they were. And man, you know, and God, I mean, God has just, over the years, just taken me, a couple times it's been a good slap up the side of the head, other times it's hitting me in the shoulder or something, hey boy, wake up. And when the longer I take to recognize it, the harder the hits get, and you know, they might go up the side of the head. Okay? You know, you tell your children, don't do that. When they're babies, you know, I just want to scream at the stupidity of society today that if a child reaches up on a hot stove, give them a timeout. No, that never worked. You know what worked? Smacking their hand. I'm not talking about bashing their skull in. I said smack their hand. They do it again? A little harder, not so that you break vessels. That's abuse. But we are people who learn from pain. Okay? I can tell you several ways to break your leg. I've learned, I don't like sledding hardly anymore. Especially on old pieces of tin. They're really fast. But sometimes God has to get through to us. And you know, and that's what he's done. But you know what? I thank him for his mercy. Because through it all, he never stopped loving me any less than he loved Jesus Christ. He said, you know what? He didn't look down here and say, man, you are one critical and judgmental piece of dirt. That's what we are. He said, right now you're critical and judgmental, but I'm not seeing that. I see down here. I see the man or woman who can be, who can do what I've asked them to do. And they're not going to get there if I smack them up the side of the head every time they mess up. Okay? So open your Bibles this morning to Mark chapter 9. How are you liking the remodel so far? Someone walked in on Wednesday night and said, I didn't know what had happened. I thought we tinted the windows or something. I couldn't see into the sanctuary anymore. But by next week, this wall will be gone. Tomorrow, we'll start tearing out the other wall, and then we'll start tearing this out. Mark chapter 9, Let's go to verse 14. Now, I've got a few scriptures to read. I'm not afraid to read scriptures. Okay? Because I think a lot of times we miss everything that was being said and done. It's kind of like judging a situation. If you're on a panel, you're on a jury, you want to hear the whole story, don't you? You don't want to hear the abridged version of the defense or the prosecution. You want to hear both sides. You want to hear what was going on, what was said, and what was done. And that's sometimes what we got to do. So let's start in verse 14. It said, "And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them, and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, 'What are you discussing with them?' Then one of the crowd answered and said, 'Teacher, I brought you my son, who has a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not.'" They're arguing with the disciples because they couldn't do something that the exorcists of the time couldn't do either. Talk about critical and judgmental, right? See, we ask people to exercise love, live in love, but yet Christians don't want to walk in love because love is a rough road to hoe. Sometimes it just flat out stinks. Just going to be honest with you. In verse 19, "And he answered him." Who's he talking to now? He's talking not to the disciples. He's talking to the Papa. He said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." How many times did Jesus move merely because he had compassion? Several times in the Bible, it just says he had compassion on them and he fed them and he healed them. He was moved because of love. Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became one as one dead, so that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come to the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" So he said to them, This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. Now, oftentimes I've struggled with that. I'm like, "Lord, I don't understand. You're telling me that there's demons that can only come out by prayer and fasting." That's even what the notes in my Bible say. I'm going to show you something today, people, that tells you something totally different. Because Jesus is not dealing with the demon. He's not talking about a spirit in them. He was talking about something that comes out of us. Okay? And that's what we're here to talk about today. Because the title of today's message is, "At Least They Tried." How many times do we don't do something? I'm afraid. Isn't that what we usually do? We don't go out for the football team, we're afraid. I just about didn't join the Marines because I was afraid. Found out I loved it. It changed who I became. Only to get in there and find out everybody was my size. We were all little shrimps. I mean, we're either little shrimps or big guys. But there was always equalizers. Okay? and we're afraid. That's why we don't do things. Well, why don't you ask that girl out? She's a snob. No, the truth of the matter is we're afraid of rejection. We're afraid of what somebody else is going to say. Why don't you apply for that position? I'm not qualified. Well, if you're not qualified and you're doing the job right now, who is qualified? The truth of the matter is we're afraid. We won't do things because we're afraid of moving. Now, I want to go over to Matthew 17. Go to verse 14. We'll start there. We're going to go here. This is actually the same account, just a little abridged. Okay? But there's some slight differences. And when he had come to them, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. Again, this is an abridged of what we just read in Mark. But you need to understand something. There are times that there is an actual physical thing. Okay? There are physical things that are wrong with people. This particular one was not. It was a spiritual thing. They knew that it was a spirit that was doing it. I've known people who were epileptic. Do not believe that it was just a spirit on them. There was something wrong with their body. Okay, if we can understand that there are things. We are a mechanical being. And I believe in the Murphy's laws of mechanics. If it can break, it's going to break. Okay? Things wear out. This body gets sick. You know, people, I remember crawling underneath in a crawl space one time of an old church where we were going to tear out the floors, and they needed to know how bad they were. And, you know, I was about 130 pounds at that time, so I was a lot skinnier than I am now. Guess who got to go? I was crawling with the boards laying right almost on top of my chest. Thank God I'm not claustrophobic. But the problem was, it was covered in mold. And I got out of there and I got sicker than a dog because I hadn't just been underneath there breathing all that mold. And I mean, I got over it pretty quickly, but primarily because my wife prayed for me and God healed me. But that was a physical thing. See, our bodies, if you breathe a bunch of junk, you're going to get sick. Okay, let's not take that away. But this was a spirit. This wasn't just believing God for a healing. This was a spirit that would intentionally throw this child, whenever he walked by fire, it would throw him into the fire, it would throw him into the lake and try to drown him. And they knew it. That's why in Mark we had more detail. He said a spirit, a deaf spirit has a hold of him. It was Jesus addressed the spirit. You deaf and dumb spirit. So this is indeed a spirit. Now, verse 16. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus answered or said to them, because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Now, how do we tie those together? Pastor, it's the same account. Mark and Matthew are the same. But the messages I've always heard on this was certain demons are stronger, which I believe that there are certain spirits that are stronger. We read about powers and principalities and rulers of the air, three different classifications. But according to that message, folks, the name of Jesus does not bear weight against them. Are you hearing me? The message that says that that demon can only come out if you pray and fast for 6 hours beforehand means the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, what Jesus has done is worthless. So that message is false. He's not talking about that. That demon has to bow at the name of Jesus, period. He said, faith, because of your lack of faith. He addressed it in the first one. He addressed it in this one. Your lack of faith. Faith is only built through prayer and fasting. Now today you can say, well, Pastor, you know, what? I don't understand all about fasting. Fasting is so much more than just giving up food, ladies and gentlemen. Okay? You got to understand, when they gave up their food time, they were giving up their recreation time. They were giving up their storytelling time, their TV time. That's what they did. They sat around and they told stories. They literally lounged. That's why you read in one particular scripture where it says John laid his head back on it says breast, but we're men, chest. I'm not Elizabethan, King James. He laid it on his chest. Jesus was manly, okay? He laid his head back on his chest, not because he's, oh. They were lounging. They were on like chaise lounges. And all John did was rolled over and looked up. That's all he did. But they told stories. The elders of the family would sit around and they would tell stories. You know, I love going, you know, we go to Bob and Karen's and Bob comes up. He can tell some awesome stories. He remembers details. You want a joke? The man remembers jokes. He can tell me a joke and 5 minutes later, I can't even tell you the punchline. I just cannot remember jokes. But he remembers stories and things that he was told as a child. And that's what they did. They sat around and they told. Today, we don't do as much storytelling in the families.
Well, that's lying.
It's a story. We won't get into that today. But when you pray and fast, prayer and fasting is a time that you're praying to God. You're developing stronger faith in God. You're listening clear to the voice of God. There were certain things I fasted for years. Never touched, didn't. And then one day God said, all right, I think I've gotten through to you. You can hear me now. We have to shut off the voices. Are you understanding me? You got to shut off everything from the outside so that you can hear what God is saying and you can believe. If God had not ever spoken directly to me, I would have a hard time believing. But I know He has spoken to me. But if I go out and tell a psychologist that, he's going to say I'm nuts and I'm hearing voices and then I'm schizophrenic. And I'm not. Because I don't hear voices in my head that say, go out and kill people. I've heard one voice. That's it. And I'll be honest with you, I thought it was my own. Because you do have an inner voice. You talk to yourself all the time, don't you, inside your head? We all do. A few of us are even a little more advanced, and we talk to ourselves on the outside. And if you're really advanced, you answer yourself, right? More time you spend alone, you gotta. Well, yeah. And I'll even say, and if you're even more advanced than that, you will stop from here and go to here and keep addressing the situation. So, but Jesus said, it's because of your lack of faith. It wasn't because that demon couldn't move because of the name of Jesus. They really didn't believe it. They were having a try. But guess what? They tried. They at least tried. We won't do things because we're afraid of what people think about us. It's time people, we run around, we don't care what people think. Yeah, you do. We all do. There's a little degree that we all care about what people think about us. And that there should be a little bit of that, because that is why we brush our teeth, put deodorant on, right? If you didn't brush your teeth this morning, I will gladly go buy you a toothbrush and toothpaste. Amen. So we need to understand that, yes, they were powerful demons, but every demon, every spirit has to bow to the name of Jesus. It doesn't have a choice. Okay? So many people today, they won't even try it. As a matter of fact, they say, well, there's no such thing as demon possession anymore. Really? I got some news for you. There's some pretty demonically possessed people running things. And we're still running around saying they don't exist. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 14. Just a couple pages over. And go to verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." You know, I've looked at that and many times I've been so critical of Peter. I need you to understand some more things about Peter. Peter has been raised on that fishing boat. Every time he throws a net overboard, that net sinks. Anything he's ever thrown overboard eventually sinks. Peter has a very good understanding about water. And he has a really good understanding about storms. But now, here is what they just thought was an apparition. Aberration, I think is the right word. A ghost walking on the water, but it said, "I'm Jesus, don't be afraid." Now, this should tell you a little something about Peter's level of faith. He said, "If it is you, tell me to come." You know, I always have to joke and say, he should be thanking God it wasn't a lying spirit that was out there. "Oh, yeah, sure, I'm Jesus, come on out." But it was Jesus. And he said, "Come." The Bible says, you just read it with your own eyes. He said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water. He walked on the water. We always say there was only one person to ever walk on water. But that is a lie. There were two. There were two people to walk on the water. One of them just had a revelation of what he was doing. And his knowledge and his revelation collided and created fear. I'm a fisherman. I'm walking on the water. Everything I've ever seen that goes into the water sinks to the bottom. I have been on search parties looking for people lost in storms and had to dredge their bodies. And now I'm walking on the water. Everything in Peter's body screamed, "This isn't natural." It's no different from anybody else, no matter what your occupation is. You got a computer, it's got a problem. You don't exercise faith. You go in there and you start figuring out what the problem is. Where did I get the bug? What, you know, what key did I push? What came unplugged, right? We start searching out all the... It's no different than Peter. He's walking on the water. He's a fisherman. He's been around this all his life. I'm not even a fisherman, and I can tell you, you don't walk on water. There was a supernatural law in effect. And faith was powering it. But the second he started focusing more on his fear about what he was doing, even though he was doing it, he started sinking. Now, I want you to understand, folks, Jesus was right there to take him by the hand and pull him right back out of the water. And again, Jesus addressed his lack of faith. But I bring to you today, he at least got out of the boat. There were 11 other men in the boat, and not one of them dared to follow. I got to tell you, if somebody can tell me I can walk on the water, I'm going to try it. I'm going to get out. If I sink, I sink. But I'm at least going to get out and do it. There's a reason, those of you who have ever watched or studied anything about birth orders, you don't even have to study birth orders to notice this stuff. The oldest is usually a little more hesitant about doing things. But by the time you get, if you got several children, you get to the youngest is doing things years before the oldest got to it. Me, popping wheelies and ride, I mean, I'd jump wheelies and jump my bicycle, but when it came to a motorcycle, me, it was two wheels on the ground. I would jump it, but I would not get it up on one wheel. Primary because I had been known to flip the bicycle over. But my brother behind me, a little yay-hooed, show off. Ride wheelies, jump the motorcycle further and I'd jump it. Why? Because he saw Big Brother doing things. So, his faith was encouraged a little bit. Today, to this day, I still don't like popping wheelies. And one day when I slipped the clutch on my motorcycle and it stood straight up and I went down the ditch holding on to my motorcycle, got it back on the road, caught the Harley I was chasing. Somebody came up and said, "Pastor, you have got to have angels with you. Because I'm going to tell you right now, there wasn't nothing holding me on that motorcycle except for the engine that was sticking out the side and I had my legs wrapped around it, praying to God to put that thing down." I calmed down a little bit after that too. Paid attention to what I was doing. Never popped another wheelie. Don't have any intentions of doing it. My own sons have got the same thing. Jesse started riding before Joshua. Justin, we had a little more of an issue on some other things, but there's other things the kid just does, and we're like, really? Folks, so many times we're afraid to do something because, one, we've never seen anybody do it. Peter had never seen anybody do this, so neither had the other 11. So we can't get too critical and judgmental about them. But I tell you, at least Peter tried. Don't focus on the fact that he sunk. We know why he sunk. Let's examine our own lives. Why are we afraid to do things? We're afraid to step out. We're afraid we might fail, isn't it? We might fail. We might lose everything we've got. Yeah, you could. Donald Trump has gone bankrupt I don't know how many times. Always comes back. But people try. People want to grow. People want to do things, but yet they're held in by, well, you know, so-and-so tried that and they failed. Can I ask you a question? Are you so-and-so? No. I was listening to a CD this morning Angel had going on in the kitchen, and it was Mike Huckabee. And he was actually talking about abortion. And I mean, man, I tell you what, if you couldn't feel the love of what he was saying in that whole thing. I mean, we're always going on about the sin. He hit it from a totally different direction. And I just thought, oh, man, Lord, that's exactly what we've done. But, you know, he was talking about the DNA of even that aborted baby. That baby will never, ever, there will never be another person on this planet with that DNA exact. There is nobody on this planet with your exact DNA. Even identical twins have different fingerprints. They are not exact. God made you as an individual. Why should you be afraid to try things? James chapter 2 and verse 17 says, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. You've got to do something. We say we believe in God, right? When you say you believe in God, guess what? You should go to church. Why? This is where we come to get fed. This is where we come. The Bible says when we come together, we stir up love. And love is what runs Christians. Excuse me. That is why so many Christians don't have the strength to do what they're supposed to do. They don't have the encouraging that they're supposed to have. I had, when I was on active duty, I had to laugh. And you know, and I read some other friends' posts who are in the military on active duty right now. And if you're a reservist, then please take no offense. But we had to despise the 2 weeks a year that we got reservists in our unit to come work with us. Bart just like, You know why? Because during the other 50 weeks of the year, they don't act like Marines. They don't. They don't act like Marines. So for 2 weeks a year, they've got to try to be Marines. Or soldiers or sailors, whatever branch you were in. They did not practice it. They weren't doing what they were supposed to do. Most of the time, I was amazed when I found out they don't have to attend their monthly muster. I'm like, well, then what's the point in having them? But for 2 weeks a year, they'd have to come in and try to act like Marines. And it was just amazing, the difference. Same thing with Christians. In less than 2 weeks, most of the churches across this county will be probably pretty full. On Easter. Because people come to church on Christmas and Easter. I heard one person tell me, if I remember right, I did tell him this, but he said, I don't like going to church. He said they preach the same message. I said, and I know the guy only went to church on Easter. And on Christmas. I said, well, if you come on other days than Easter and Sunday, Easter Sunday and Christmas, you'll hear a different message. But I promise you, come Easter this year, come Resurrection Sunday, I'm going to tell you about a risen Lord, a risen Savior, victorious King. So there won't be no surprises, okay? That's the point of that particular day. You want to hear how to live a victorious life? Come on the other 50 weeks of the year. That's why we do what we do. To encourage love, to strengthen you, to help you. To help you understand the God you serve. I'm walking this road with you. had to tell somebody the other day, you know, and he said jokingly, and I know it. And I said, he said, well, wait a minute, isn't there something? You can't do that. And I said, no, the same rules that apply to you apply to me. There aren't a separate set of rules just because my occupation is the pastor. You know, and again, he was joking. But I'm walking this walk with you. I'm learning, I've learned more about my Lord Jesus in the 13 years that we have been a church than I did in the previous 30 years of my entire life. Because now I'm up here learning it and walking it with you. That's my job, is to help you understand who you are in Christ and who Christ is in you. So James said that you can't have faith and have without works, and you can't have works without faith. The disciples exercised works but were found lacking in the faith arena. In Acts chapter 19, let's go ahead and turn there. I want to read something to you. Acts chapter 19, go to verse 13. We'll go to verse 6, starting in verse 13. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call on the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. All right? I don't know how that has evaded me for years. We're not talking about the seven sons of Sceva here. We're talking about itinerant Jewish ministers. They called upon the name of Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, it doesn't say this, but you have to understand. You have to be able to understand why the seven sons of Sceva did what they did. It's because they were seeing results. They saw something happening. In other words, these itinerant ministers actually believed in the name of Jesus. They'd only heard Paul preach about it, but in their hearts they believed because they started seeing things. They were ministers of the Jewish gospel. Paul was preaching the gospel of Jesus. Okay? So, let's go to verse 14 then. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish priest who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. What was the difference? Didn't they exercised their action, right? They had put faith with their action, or they put action to what they were doing, their works. Problem is, they had absolutely no faith. See, the disciples, this spirit didn't jump out all over them and whoop them. But this one old man jumped all over these seven boys, beat the tar out of them. I guess you could literally say beat the socks off of them, because it said they ran out naked. Seven young men, more than likely teenagers. This one old man took them all. What's the difference between that and this? They had absolutely no faith. But these other itinerant ministers, they had faith in what Paul was preaching, even though they hadn't come to a full revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Their faith and their works were starting to line up. And it was all because of the name of Jesus. And they believed firmly because they saw Paul healing and casting demons out of people. This was at the point where that they started sending out handkerchiefs. Today, I don't do that. I just need you to understand that. I don't send out handkerchiefs. Okay? The reason they did it was because they couldn't get a preacher there with the revelation of the healing power of God. Today, that revelation goes around the world. Not every church believes that God heals. Not every church believes that there's even demons. Okay? But my thing is, we start putting our faith in a handkerchief. Not in God. I know a man. He had come down with cancer. And I asked him, I said, have you been prayed for? He showed me his prayer cloth. Then went back out in his truck, lit up a cigarette, and died a few weeks later of lung cancer. Where was his faith? It wasn't in Jesus. It was in a little rag. You want faith? You want prayed for? Lay hands on you, because I'm going to tell you right now, folks, there's many of you in here, you can testify. God has healed cancer. Okay? Not because of me. It's because of what Jesus did. And my faith is in Jesus, not in my abilities, because my abilities, I don't do anything. Oh, Pastor, don't you just sweat and pray and roll on the floor crying and weeping for these people? Nope. Because I have a firm belief in the authority in the name of Jesus, just as when my commanding officer stood out in front of my entire company and said, having now established faith and confidence in the abilities of this young man, we promote him, and you will obey him. That was the most exciting day of my life, because I was no longer the wheeze that had to do all the obeying all the time. I had just moved up. As a believer in the name and of what Jesus Christ has done, the authority he has given you, the demons in hell have to obey. Cancer has to obey. You understanding? These things have to obey because of the name of Jesus. That is why the Jews didn't want it preached. That is why today the name of Jesus is more offensive than anything else. Today, I'm going to tell you right now, and I did see this, and I can't remember where it was. People would actually rather let a pedophile go free than a Christian be in their neighborhood. What's wrong? We just went back to the days when they chose a murderer and a thief over Jesus Christ, is what happened. They chose Barabbas over Jesus. Although we all know, looking back now knowing, they had to choose Barabbas. Or else we wouldn't have this authority. We wouldn't have the freedom from sin that we now have. But people would rather choose to live comfortably with sin because they think they can control it. Do you understand that? How long has it been against the law to be a pedophile? Yeah, pretty much forever. Has it stopped it? There are people, when I was in school, who had pedophiles in their neighborhood. They knew exactly who they were. They knew the children that they were raping. Not one person would do a thing about it. And these girls grew up knowing that nobody would do anything. And that man continued thriving. And I don't know how many people have been raped because of him and because nobody would say or do anything about it. In the Amish community, there was a particular man who was raping his daughter. The Amish community would not do anything about it. Finally, somebody called the cops on him. I believe he's over in Marion now. Yeah, it's where he belongs. But you can't control sin, is the point. You can say it's illegal. It's illegal to drink and drive, isn't it? I won't ask any of you to throw your hands up because I know there's a few. Did it stop you? Nope. Drugs are illegal. You think it's slowing it down? Every time I go to Marion, I can't help but walk into a conversation, people talking about heroin. That's why we continue to stand and pray against it. Why? Because there is a spirit fueling this stuff. those people in that community, instead of growing accustomed to living with the sin around them, had said, you know what? We aren't going to tolerate it. And be honest with you, if her daddy had any intestinal fortitude, I just will stop right there on that. Y'all think you can figure out where I'm heading. These young men were unable to cast this demon out, and it whooped them because of two things. One, they had no relationship with Jesus Christ. The purpose they were doing it was a parlor trick. Today, I mean, it's been for years, especially after the great healing revivals of the 40s and into the 50s, people started figuring out, hey, I can make money at this. I can be rich at this. So they started paying people to follow their tents. Bring your wheelchairs, bring your crutches, bring your canes. I'll pay you X amount of dollars when I have a healing line. You come up, you're going to act like you're paralyzed, and you're going to jump up and you're going to be healed. You can't hear. Remember, wear your hearing aids, throw them out and you can hear. Hallelujah. These things were exposed. Because they did not have the real power. Oh, they'd used the name of Jesus. I've been in a few of them. They'd used the name of Jesus. I'm like, didn't take long, even as a child, to start saying, I remember seeing you at the last tent revival in that same wheelchair. Yeah, I thought you were healed. Yeah, temporary lapse of reason here. You know, Gloria came back to us in a wheelchair. She did. Came back legally blind. She asked me to pray for her. We prayed for her. She started going without her wheelchair. And then one day I noticed she was back in it. And I told her, I said, Gloria, I thought you were healed. She said, I am. She got rid of the wheelchair. She got rid of her little cart. The woman runs up and down the roads. So be careful if you're going down Douglas Street or some of these. You will find her walking. She's healed. Not because of anything I did or we did. We prayed and we believed. And that's that. She put her faith to action. She did more than a lot of people I've seen do. When it concerns faith, we need to be honest with ourselves. Are we afraid to act? Are we afraid to act upon what Jesus has told us? Sometimes there's people, it takes a while. I'm almost seeing his name. Preacher, starts with H. He's passed away since. Indiana. I think. Who? Hagin. Yes, Kenneth Hagin. Jesus came to him and healed him in his bed as a teenager. He got up, lived the life. And don't worry if I can't remember. Do you know how many preachers I know? I'm not going to beat myself up just because I forgot somebody's name. There's only one name I need not to forget. That's my wife's. No. Yeah, that and her birthday, right? Maybe the anniversary ranks up in there too. Are we afraid to act because we know that if we jump out of that boat, everything in our body is telling us, we sink. If I go up on top of this building, stand up here at the peak, peak is only probably about 18 feet, 18, 19 feet from the ground, less than two stories, and I jump off of it, what's going to happen? I'm going to fall. I'm going to fall 18 or 19 feet and hit the ground. Why? It's because we know that. That is a natural law, isn't it? Same thing with Peter jumping out of that boat into the water. Gravity works in water too. And the more you thrash and the more you freak out, the faster you go down. Sometimes Jesus requires you to trust something that makes absolutely no sense. God, I remember my dream for years was just to have my own business. I wanted a construction business. The older I got, the less likely I was wanting to do this. I'm like, Lord, I actually got a good opportunity here. Do I really want to mess this up? And I realized it was now or never. I thank God I did it. Get rid of that pesky health insurance, vacation, opportunities for promotion, pay raises, you know, 40-hour work week, maybe some overtime. Just get rid of all that. Go out and be self-employed. Yay! Got to go out and kick up my own jobs. Work countless hours. Oh, by the way, yeah, I can't afford health insurance. Yeah, I still can't afford that. The epileptic boy's father recognized his shortfall in faith and asked God for help. But his actions were completely done in love. So you need to ask yourself, do I really have the faith to act? A lot of people hear stupid things. God told me to do this. Really? Are you sure God told you to jump out of that boat? God told me to jump out of that plane without a parachute. Okay, unless the plane is on fire and going down anyhow, God has to have a purpose for getting you out of that plane. Jesus himself was standing there. He had a purpose for Peter getting out of the boat. I forget who it was. I think Sean was telling me the other day of this new trend going on. Maybe you remember who we were talking about. Somebody in here is going to remember what we were talking about. It might not have been who I thought was talking. It's parachuting without your parachute. Skydiving without a parachute. You throw the parachute out, and then you jump. Does that sound real smart? Yeah, exactly. Some of you are thinking, why jump out of the perfectly good airplane? They're doing it for an adrenaline rush. You want an adrenaline rush? Come out to my barn. I did it yesterday. I'll step up my 30-foot ladder, and I'll get it to where it shifts while you're halfway up it. It's all the adrenaline you need. Ain't that right, Joshua? We were talking about it. It's all the adrenaline you need. You don't need to go up to 15, 20,000 feet, throw your parachute out, and try to catch it. Because can I remind you, if you miss it, it's a one-time deal. I can't imagine. I mean, I don't know if they've got people there with them with chutes or. I'm just not taking the chance. I would like to skydive one time. Okay, just one time. But I'm not throwing the parachute out of the plane first. So be honest with yourself about your faith. Do I really have the faith? See, a lot of people run around, I've got the faith, I got the faith. How about we be honest like the boy's father? Say, God, my actions are here. Help me. While Jesus, I guess we need to start right here real quick. Jesus did correct Peter. Okay? The Bible even says he rebuked him. Which I love going to religious churches. I rebuke you, I rebuke you, I rebuke you. Rebuking is actually the verb. It's like talking. It's pretty much all it is. Rebuking is a thing. It's the action. It's not, I rebuke you. Yeah, that doesn't get you anywhere. He was correcting Peter because he was training Peter up. Okay? No different than a coach correcting the batter stance, how you're shooting your free throws, how you're snapping the ball, how you're standing on the line. No different than any of that. That's all the rebuke was him correcting a disciple who is now going to take this message across the world. And Jesus wasn't going to be there. But see, even Peter had the sense to cry out to Jesus when his faith was found lacking. You know what we do? I'm going to man up. I'm going to man up. No, how about you just cry out to Jesus and let him get you out of the water? We can't man up enough to save ourselves from drowning. When our faith is found lacking, we need to man up and say, Jesus, help me. That's manning up. See, we got this whole messed up idea of what being a man is. Men are a lot of things, but they're not what we're seeing in the world today. So if you're going to be honest, brutally honest, as you say, be brutally honest with yourself and say, do I have the faith? And if I don't, Lord Jesus, help me. Help my unbelief. And guess what? He fills the gap. Because I'm going to tell you right now, there's many times he's asked me to do things and there wasn't another step out there. But the only reason I've been able to step out is because I've learned it and I trust him. He says, do something. Okay, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm going to do this. And when we do it, I'm going to tell you right now, he's never let me drown. Even when I'm doing what he asked me to do, I've gotten myself into pickles. He always comes out. Because he's looking more for obedience. Because if he told you to do it, it'll happen. He'll get it done. And if you mess up, he's got to fix it. I mean, the disciples came across a demon they couldn't cast out. Here it all was a deaf and dumb spirit. It's not like it was the prince of Persia. It was simply a deaf and dumb spirit. But they were a little lacking in their faith. And even the man who just heard Jesus manned up and said, I'm lacking in the faith area. Please help me. Before we get critical and judgmental of others who have stepped out, maybe they tripped. We look at the disciples, see how they failed Jesus. If we will be honest and say, at least they tried, what am I doing? I'm holding on to the side of the boat, inside the boat. Peter was on the outside, doing the impossible. All right, I've got a few. Angela's asked me to throw up a couple announcements again here. One, remember fellowship dinner today? There's been some awfully good food. Honestly, I think I am gaining a little bit of weight from this, but fortunately it's only once a month. I'd better eat because this dinner is going to have to carry me over till sometime tomorrow. I know some of you, there's other people in here who have the who live under the household of, this is fend for yourself Sunday. Also, for the next two Wednesdays, okay, there are no adult services. It's only the youth group. Reason being is in the foyer. Okay, we're going to be tearing this wall out, the other wall out, trying to get stuff wrapped up. And I'll be honest with you, after this past Wednesday, it's a pain in the butt trying to get that cleaned back up and around. I'd rather be able to come in and do my job without thinking, I've got to have the church perfect again. And Miss Maggie, I apologize for the dust that will probably... yep. But our goal is to have this done and closed up. The library is moving into the corner. We're trying to get everything up and done before Easter Sunday. So there's some things we're trying to do. We're trying to push through some things and get it all taken care of. Also, Miss Cheryl's father passed away this week, and there are calling hours this Tuesday at Snyder Funeral Home up here by the Grill and Chill at 5 to 7, and the service will be following that at 7 p.m., and I will be doing that. And so, you know, just if you can't make it there, just let her know you love her. Also, the library shelving is up for grabs today. Okay? If you can't take it today, let me know. But if you want it today or want it, you need to tell me today, because tomorrow I'm calling the Salvation Army to come get it. That's the gray unit, the two brown units, and the square thing that we used to put CDs and stuff. It sat in the middle. The glass counter is not going, okay? But the other ones are fair game. First come, first serve, so don't be dawdling. If you want them, tell me. If you can't get them, let me know. I can set them aside, but other than that, I'm calling the Salvation Army to come get them, and in that way, I don't have to keep moving the stupid things around. I've moved them around for nearly 13 years now, and I'm done moving them. We're putting in permanent shelves. So if you need them, want them, they're yours. All right, let's stand. Please remember the junior church department's trying to finish up real quick. I am a little bit ahead of schedule. I told them to try to be ready about 12:15 from now on, and it's only 12:07. So, again, reminder, we're going to honor our elders and let them go first, okay? And then just try to be respectful of that. I guess we don't have to try to get down breaking into exact age groups, but there are people who deserve the honor, and we will do that. Yeah, if you're willing to admit you're older than everybody else. Honestly, I've learned that there comes a point that doesn't matter anymore. You're just taking the benefits as they come. Ouch. You did see it move, right? Oh, man. Yeah, I will say hallelujah, praise you, Lord. I think it's time for a smaller pulpit. But anyhow, so I'm going to bless the food here. Go through. Take a little bit of everything. Don't take everything. I might be at the end of the line today, so just saying. And that's it, right? Okay, well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord, first off, that you never condemn us. Father, you may correct us, but you do not condemn us and hold us in that state of error. Lord, I pray now that you help us all to be honest with ourselves and admit when we're the one failing and it's not you. And that you would help us and for us to call out upon your name. Lord, I thank you once again, Father, you do not condemn. But that you do convict, and I know that you're probably convicting us all in areas where it's us who's dropping the ball. Lord, bless these people. Cause your face to shine upon them, Lord. Prosper all that they do for good. The seeds they sow of love, may they come back, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And now, Father, we bless the food we're about to eat. I pray that you bless the fellowship. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you for our brothers and our sisters as they stand beside us, as they pray for us through difficult times. Bless this food in Jesus' name. Amen.